All right. Well, I'm really pleased to announce today that, I don't know how many of you guys know that you guys are a very giving church. And whether you know it or not, when you give your offerings, when you give your tithes, when you give your love gifts, sometimes the designated offerings, you know, those are all funneled, not just to the local body. Did you guys know that we support, you know, probably over a dozen ministries, you know, abroad? Did you guys know that? So I just want to let you know that you are a part of this. And in the last year, we've added at least 6 new missionary organizations or persons, you know. So I wanted to show them to you. I believe that God is going to give us even greater increase. I want to share real quick. Glory of Zion, Israel, they're ministering to people in the country of Israel. You know, Pastor Joseph really wanted for us to reach out to the Jews and also the Arabs and other peoples that live in Israel with the gospel. So there's a ministry that's doing it right there, even in Jerusalem. We also have Faith Christian Church. They're reaching out to students at the U of A campus. They do a great job. Every year, hundreds of people get saved through their ministry at the U of A campus. Yes, that's something to be excited about. We need people getting saved in campuses. We have Living Water Teaching. We added the orphanage called the Promise Home. You know, they have all these orphan children in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala, and we're serving those people. They take care of them so well. We got to see a tour firsthand how they do it. They're excellent. They have psychologists, nutritionists. I mean, you know, they have the right ratios of the caregivers to children. I mean, so blessed. So we're not just throwing our money anywhere. These are people that we have vetted. The missions board has helped us by doing the research and say, yeah, these are people that are worthy of us, you know, pouring our money into. You know, of course, we added this past week, Engage Your Destiny with Ben Peterson. How many remember Ben Peterson? He was here. He ministers to soldiers and to other branches as well, to airmen and the Marines, but mainly to soldiers in the Army. And every time he preaches, hundreds of them, you know, at least dozens, but I've seen hundreds of them get saved. When he was here for Wachuca, in one meeting, he had over 200 soldiers give their lives to the Lord. Come on. Yes. And so he's coming back around the beginning of the year, and I'm going to try to bring him in here on Sunday when he's here as well. Ann Southwood, she's a Wycliffe missionary and a good friend of Carl and Joanna Rogers. And I'm really excited. She is in a country where I can't tell you where it's at. It's a very sensitive area, so I will not say what country she is in. But she is in out there, you know, where the unreached peoples are. You know, so it's great that we're ministering somebody who loves people and is willing to leave everything to reach people. And, of course, Refuge Christian Ministries International, those Dr. Paul Olson and his family, Marcy and Tom and others. They've been in Latin America, especially in Belize, Guatemala, and Haiti. They're just finishing a project in Belize where they're building a new church. And here's the really cool news, Pastor. We just got them connected with Benjamin Sanchez. He was a student in a Shiloh Christian school. He's from Belize. He was here for years. He went back to his country. He's now pastoring a church, you know, in Belize. And the Olsons are going to help him. So when they go at the end of the month, they're going to connect. And they're going to see how they can help him, you know, finish their building process. Yes. So all of you are a part of that. Come on. We're blessing people all around the world. We have people that we're serving in Thailand, in Europe, you know, just all over the place. So thank you for being faithful givers. So today, having said all that, I want to begin a new series called The Blessed Life. Okay, and I want to show you the title slide here. Today's part one. This is going to be multi-message types. Obviously, it's a series. So you're going to have to hang with me. And it's important that you get all of them. If you miss one, you need to get online. Or if not, you need to get the book. And I was supposed to have it with me. I didn't bring it with me. But this is based on a book and a series of teachings by Pastor Robert Morris, who is the senior pastor of Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. Anybody here heard of Robert Morris? I mean, he's one of my favorite pastors. I've gone weeks where I'm just listening to his messages every day on the way to work. You know, it's just an amazing teacher. He also has a gift of evangelism. And anyway, many years ago, he wrote this book. And what is amazing about this teaching is because how many of you has heard of the prosperity movement? You know, all of us are like, every time we start talking about money, everybody goes like, ugh. We start cringing. Oh, they're going to start talking about money. Here we go. And everybody gets to start a little tense. You know, but he has the endorsement of pastors all over this nation and abroad have said this guy has a balanced approach. He doesn't believe in the give to get. He believes in the give to give. Give to give. Yes, there is an economy. Anytime you sow, you know, you reap. But that's not what we're doing it. We're just understand, you know, who owns all the stuff that we have. And we just become conduits of the blessing. So, you know, some of us, you know, are struggling, you know, in with giving, you know, and some of us are just being faithful with giving. But I believe there's others of you that have already stepped into a place of multiplication and supernatural provision. You know, you already understand. Your eyes are set on the kingdom, you know, and you're able to see how God is moving, and you're like, God, whatever you want to do with my stuff, with my time, with the triple T, right? You know, with my time, with my treasures, and with my talents, I will give it all to the Lord. And so the Lord gave me this verse this morning. I wasn't supposed to share this, but it blessed me so much. This is Jesus speaking, John 4:34. So you don't have this, Mark. Let me just read it to you. It says, Jesus explained, my nourishment. This is Jesus speaking. You know, he's talking to the Samaritan woman. Then the disciples come, you know, well, did you get food or something? It's like, no, I have a different kind of food. This is my life right here. It says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. Let me say that again. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God. Jesus was all in kingdom living. You know, he was living, you know, just a cut above. He was just seeing things from a kingdom perspective. And I believe God is calling us to live a life that is set, you know, a cut above. Everyone is living in a place of blessing because our eyes are set in the kingdom. Amen? Not in the natural. We got to see, you know, by faith into the spirit realm. He says, who sent me, and says, and also get it from finishing his work. It's finishing his work. And I'm going to tell you, there's some people of you that you're kind of part of the kingdom, you know, but the kingdom is not your priority yet. You step into the life of blessing when the kingdom becomes a thing of priority. That's why I've titled this message, A Heart Condition. Because living a life of generosity, you know, starts, you know, with having the kingdom being your greatest treasure. Amen? So this is the first message in this series. So even as we're looking at all the opportunities to give of ourselves, you know, with our time, talents, we're giving to the missions abroad, you know, how many of you guys know that we're paying a mortgage for this beautiful, how many love this facility? Don't you guys think this is an amazing facility? I thank God that Pastor Joseph and Pastor Kim had a vision to build something that was nice. Isn't it nice to have air-conditioned areas and classrooms and meeting rooms and offices and great landscaping and beautiful, you know, parking lots? Come on. Everything. They say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this the kingdom way. You know, because God, right, he lives, he says he has mansions for us. And the Bible says that, you know, he has a sea of crystal and streets of gold. And there's no shortage of it in the kingdom. Amen? So we must understand that there's an economy of the kingdom. Everybody say economy. Before it gets a little tense in here, because he's talking about money, you know, the Bible says that we need to take, you know, a hold of our strongholds that we have in our mind. And some of you, because people have hurt you and you've seen abuse in the kingdom, you get tense. But I'm going to teach you the scriptures, you know, as I've received them, you know, from teachings from the Bible, from Pastor Robert Morris, which I believe are very balanced on how to give to give, because we're in the kingdom. Amen? So I hope I'm going to dismantle some of the lies and some of the things that you receive, because if I don't teach you, you're missing out on the blessing. Some of you are missing out on blessing because you've seen the abuses. And so we're going to do away with that. Okay? So let me give you a few other reasons. Check this out. There are over 500 verses in the Bible concerning prayer. There are nearly 500 verses concerning faith. But there are over 2,000 verses on the subject of money and possessions. Just think about that for a second. 500, prayer, nearly 500 for faith, but over 2,000. What do you think that is? Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. Why? Because money is a test from God. How you handle your money reveals your priorities, loyalties, and affections. That's what we said. It's a heart condition. Did you know that there's a chain between your heart and your wallet? That's why when you start pulling on your wallet, it's like, oh man, what's going on? It doesn't want to get out because you get a bigger chain. Second, if I don't teach you about generous living, I'm keeping you from the greater blessings. It would be a disservice for me as a pastor. I've lived in the blessing for years. I've told you many years about my story where my country song story where I wrecked my truck going about 60 miles per hour, hit a deer, you know, and within 3 weeks of that, I lost my job and lost my girlfriend. Okay, so I told you I had to play backwards to get it all back. But it didn't happen that way. You know, I began to focus on God, and I continued to, you know, come to church and to give, and I began to see pastor. You know, and within just a few years, everything that I had was doubled. You know, I had 2 paid-for cars. You know, I had a wife and 2 kids. I was getting paid over twice as much as I was getting paid for that job that I got laid off at. Wow. Why? Because I said, God, I'm going to serve you. There was, you know, one of the things about that girl is that she wanted me to leave Sierra Vista. And God said, no, you're supposed to be right here. So when I said, no, I'm going to plant myself in the will of God because my nourishment is to do the will of God and to see his kingdom, you know, expanded and people coming into the kingdom, people getting set free, people meeting Jesus. When you begin to do that, God says, I will fund your business. I will fund your ministry. So he keeps taking care of me. And we've seen it over and over and over. Through Financial Peace University, in 3 years, we paid over $58,000, you know, of debt and some commitments that we've made to the church. You know, and I'm not bragging about myself, but I've learned. God said, give this offering $500. I was like, okay, here you go. Offering. You know, give this offering $2,000. Okay, here you go. So I was like, you know. But I've learned, and I believe that God has rewarded me, you know, I've never lacked anything, and it doesn't just spill out into financial gain. I'm talking about, like, you know, in relationships, I'm so overwhelmed by the awesome relationships that I have, by the health that I have, by the joy that I have. Come on, I'm thriving. I'm not just surviving. I'm loving what I do. That's the place to live. And it's a life of blessing, the blessed life. Hallelujah. So I recommend that everyone here go out and get that book. How many of you read the book already? If you haven't, you need to, you know, bring it out and read it again, okay, as we go through it together. And maybe we'll purchase some and we'll just have them out there if you want to buy them here on the way out. But finally, because, like I said, there's some here that understand the kingdom living and God's stewardship program. You're already challenging God's blessing. But there are others, I believe, that are not aware. You just don't know what you don't know. You have not aware of the great opportunities you have to impact the world with your giving. And all of us are looking is for somebody to give us good vision to sow into. Did you know that? You know, we are generous by nature, especially Americans. We're the most given nation in the history of the world. In the history of the world. Every year we give away billions of dollars to other nations. You know, and it's not just from the government. I'm talking about from, you know, charities and, you know, people that come together. The rebuilding process going on right now in the Bahamas. Churches have just come together and just sending people and money and resources just to rebuild that nation. But why? Because people need a vision to give. People want to give, but they want to know there's something that's worthwhile. So as we continue on with the series, over the next few Sundays, I'm going to give you some things that you can begin to sow into. I want to give you something that you say, you know what? I want to be a partner, you know, in the ministry. I want to be a partner, you know, with a vision of God for this house. So I'll be sharing some of those things with you as we go along. So before we start talking about the blessed life, we need to define what blessings and what its opposite curses are, okay? And I'm going to define a little bit different, because I know I did a series last year, you know, about called Just Blessed. Well, this is the blessed life. So this is slightly different, you know, definition, but I want you to hear this out. Blessed means having supernatural power working for you. Let me say that again. Blessed means having supernatural power working for you. Now, curse, check this out, is having supernatural power working against you. So the days of the blessed person are filled with divine coincidences, right? Oh, it seems like they're always blessed. They're all, some good things happen to them. And heavenly meaning. A blessed man may or may not be wealthy by the world standards, but he enjoys a quality of life that most billionaires would envy. Blessing permeates every area of a person's life. Like I said, health, relationships, work, family, emotions, and thoughts. I'm going to give you really quick three scriptures that talk, that connect being generous with blessing. Being generous with blessing. And they're all found in Deuteronomy. Check this out. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Okay? So you're going to take care of these people who have needs, and then the Lord God is going to bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. How many would like everything that you put your hands to be blessed? Check this out, Deuteronomy 23:20. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you're entering to possess. Now check this one out, Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read verses 8 and also verse 12. Verse 8 says, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Isn't that awesome? And look at verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, talk about one of the T's, right? The heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Amen. You know, we've talked about in the past about how the man that took the, was cutting, you know, 2x4 planks, you know, 8 foot in length. And he said, you know what, instead of measuring the next one, I'll just take the one that I cut. And I'll put it up against the next one, and then I'll cut right there. And then I'll take the one that I cut, and I'll use it to measure the next one. So he wasn't taking into account that the blade is an eighth of an inch width. And so after, you know, so many cuts, he was already up to 9 feet of length. So he was not cutting them to the right length. Okay, so we've kind of done that with the church. In Deuteronomy, and you look at Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3, it says they had all things in common. That they will sell all their possessions to make sure that the kingdom was expanded. Why? Because they were in kingdom living. Amen? They weren't just coming to church. They were seeing, you know, how do we expand the kingdom as their priority. Amen? So let me give you two quick principles about giving. The first principle is that giving follows God's law of sowing and reaping. But, I mean, it just applies to everything. So real quick, we covered this not long ago. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. We talked about judging, right? And how, you know, there's a place to judge. You know, but it says that in the manner that you judge, you will be judged. And so judgment, it says, verses 1 of chapter 7, judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. If you give a seed, you get a plant with many seeds. Whatever you give, that's what you get back. I think I'm reading a different version. Sorry. Let me read Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be out into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Let me say that again. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured out to you. And this applies to anything that you sow in life. This is the law of reaping and sowing. We spoke about this, like I said, a few weeks ago. If you sow mercy, you're going to reap mercy. If you sow judgment, you're going to reap judgment and condemnation. So we've got to be careful how what we're sowing, what we're making a priority in our life. Now listen, this week, how many saw in the news that there was a former Dallas police officer that shot and killed a young man in his own apartment? Okay, you probably saw it. Her name is Amber Geiger. She was sentenced to 10 years for murder of Botham Jean, a 26-year-old, and I have to say this, he's a black man, who happened to be a worship leader and apparently a pretty stand-up guy. So what happened is that she was on the wrong floor of her apartment complex. She walked in the wrong room. The door was already kind of cracked ajar. Saw somebody there and just like supposedly said something, and the guy didn't respond and just shot him. Okay, so there was a lot of anger, a lot of angst, you know, because of this. And the media, everybody's like, oh, you know, because he is black and, you know, she should have gotten so much more. She's a cop and this and that and this and that and this and that. But check this out. The family of the young man, especially the brother, got up on the stand and he said, you know what, let me just say something. He said, I'm just speaking for myself. I don't desire that you even go to jail. I wish that God would give you everything, you know, that would just bless you. And I forgive you. I mean, your brother just got shot. That can only be by the grace of God. And then he said, Your Honor, could I please hug her? Could I please hug her? I mean, it was a real awkward. It was a very touching moment. And he kept asking. He said, is it okay? And finally said, okay, it's okay. And they just kind of ran up in the middle of the courtroom and they embraced. And he forgave her. You know, and then the judge followed suit. She came down and hugged her and gave her a Bible. Come on. African-American judge. African-American families with a white cop. Come on. These people have doled out mercy with their hands full. When they could have, they said, we deserve judgment. We deserve condemnation. We deserve that she go to jail for, you know, many more years and that she suffer. But Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I got a little bold. I've never gotten this bold, you know, but I was looking at Twitter, and there's a particular young lady that used to work for ESPN. Some of you may know who it is. And she's in a sports, you know, personality. And she was tweeting, I can't believe it. This is, and oh, now I see why the judge did this, because she wants to get reelected. And it just began to just pummel these people with their messages. And I say, hey, look, this is the closest thing I've seen to what Jesus said on the cross. I responded to her on Twitter. I never do that, but I have to say it. I have to say it. Because you don't see mercy like that, grace like that. And we need to, you know, praise moments like that. Because what we sow, we reap. And it's time that our nation begin to not ask for, you know, for people to get what they deserve. If we were to get what we deserve, we'd all be going to hell, people. If we get what we deserve, we'd all be going to hell. So don't be asking for people to get what they deserve, because you're not going to like what you get. Don't be yelling at the lady that cuts you off in traffic like you've never done it before, because guess what? You're going to do it sooner or later. Come on, and we've all done it. And we got to repent of those things like that. We got to dole out mercy and love and forgiveness and generosity, because that's what comes back in our lives. Hallelujah. Going back to the verses I read, we must point out that money is not in these verses. It doesn't even talk about money, but it's used often about money, because it does hold true. When we give, you know, a good measure, shake down, press together, you know, it will run over. That's why we had that picture, you know, of the water being poured out on that cup and just spilling over. That's the kind of life that God's called us to. You know, out of your gut, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. People are looking for somebody who is living in the supernatural, is living in multiplication, in joy, in peace. And you and I have access to that because the Holy Spirit is already inside of us. Are we going to believe God? So don't let, you know, what people say about, oh, money, you know, in the church. You give generously. I remember one time a preacher came by and said, man, I need a keyboard for my ministry. I bought a nice keyboard that cost hundreds of dollars, you know, and I was just like, hey, you can take this. And people were like, why did you give it to him? He manipulated you. I was like, hey, look, that's between him and God. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's between him and God. I will give. You know, I bought a saxophone. I thought I was going to learn how to play the sax like Pastor. It didn't do very well. So I know this guy was, you know, a good musician. I said, here, you can have my saxophone, you know. Cost hundreds of dollars. Why? I'm just sowing it. And but you know what? God takes care of me left and right. You guys came out of the woodwork to bless us, you know, earlier in the year. When our baby, was stuck in the NICU, we saw, you know, God's generosity just being poured out upon us. And we still see it day to day. And the second principle I want to talk about is giving is about the heart. It is a heart condition. Proverbs 4:23 says from the New Living Translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Look how Jesus said it. It connects to what Elder Pete said earlier. Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, in the kingdom, in what matters, and that what's eternal, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what God has to deal with your wallet, because it is so connected to our heart. It is so connected to our heart. God knows our nature. God knows our nature. We are selfish people by nature. We're born selfish. What is one of the first things that a child learns? Mine. Mine. Well, you know, they have all these toys, right? And they're playing with one toy over here. Some other kid walks in the room and grabs that one. I was playing with that.
That's right.
Oh, I was playing with that too. Oh, I was playing with that too. I mean, they're territorial.
Yeah.
Mine, 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 mine. But kids have to grow out of it. 1 Corinthians 13, and when I was a kid, I spoke like a kid, acted like a kid, but then I became a man. And some of us need to become a man or a woman in this spirit and grow out of, you know, the place of selfishness. And I would call also envy, because they go hand in hand. Selfishness and envy. We don't want to give what we have, but we're always looking at what everybody else has. And before we open our hand to give, you know, we're looking at it. And before we open our hand to give, we're looking at what other people are giving. How come I have to give this much if they're not giving that much? What did Jesus say to Peter? What is it to you? Yeah. The way I deal with John is different than the way I deal with you. So some of you have been asked to give in the past sacrificially. Don't look around. Look up. Daddy, what do you want me to give? How many times do we really pray, God, how much should we give? How much do you want me to give? Sometimes we're just on autopilot. So yes, we're sowing, but we're just sowing sparingly. And so you reap sparingly, just enough. But if we would listen to what God is saying, I want to step more into multiplication, people. The places that where God has us to go in the future with Shiloh, we need to step into multiplication. So all of us are born with selfishness and covetousness in our hearts. And I don't care who you are, all of us have an innate desire to please ourselves first and to hoard if possible. We have built-in insecurities that cause us to compare ourselves to others and to look at our hands and pockets and then at the hands and the pockets of others before we give. So God, check this out, developed a system that builds generosity into his people. God developed a system that, you know, that develops generosity into his people. You can put that in Twitter. You can put a hashtag if you want. God has a system to develop generosity in his people. Okay, so how does he do that? I'm going to give you 4 points, 4 ways that God builds generosity in his people. Okay, the first point is he wants us to deal with a selfish heart. And this always happens right before we give. You know. Deuteronomy chapter 15. This is all out of Deuteronomy chapter 15. Verses 7 through 9. Check this out. If there's among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. See, he's talking about the hand. Ooh. But you shall open your hand, what? Wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand. Right? Every 7 years, all debts would be forgiven. And then, you know, after 7 times 7, the 50th year, it was the year of Jubilee. Come on. All the slaves were released. All debts were forgiven. And they're like, wait a second. We're 1 year away from the year of forgiveness. Do I really want to lend to this guy? He may not pay it back. He's going to drag his feet until the end of the year, and now he's not going to owe me anything. God say, you are being selfish. Do not withhold lending, giving to your brother if he asks you, even if you may not get it back. Come on, isn't that God dealing with our selfish heart right there? It says, once again, the seventh year of the year release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you and become sin among you. He says, be generous like I'm generous. Don't lend with an eye on the year of forgiveness or the year of Jubilee. So I ask you the question, why did God create giving? And people would say, well, so we can support ministry. No. Let me ask you something. God owns the cattle and of a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord and its fullness. Come on. He has streets of gold. He has mansions, a sea of crystal. Does God really need our money? Does God really need our money? In God's system of generous living, he devised giving so you and I would constantly work out our selfishness because we're selfish. Tell the person next to you, you are selfish. But tell him, but God's helping me to be generous. God's helping me. So giving, more than any other activity, works out selfishness and greed out of our lives. It is done on purpose. Yeah, I remember Wayne Myers, he would have these things, and we've done it in the past. We've done it with our youth group. But it's been a while where we say, okay, everybody right now, find somebody in the room, take something that's on you or possession right now and give it to somebody. And people would like, you'd be surprised. They were taking watches off, you know, money out of their pocket. I've seen guitars given away. People like, they begin to respond. You just have to give people opportunities to be generous. You know, and you may not get something in the process. Somebody else might get a bunch of things. But you know what? God knows. That could be your day. Maybe we need to do that one of these Sundays after I preach. You know, so come ready to give and just find somebody around the room. And if you want to do it without me knowing, that's, you know, I'm okay with that. Because if you give, you'll get to work the selfishness out of your life. You know, and Pastor Robert, he says that there is one area that, just so you know, ladies, there's an area that we never work out of, you know, out of selfishness, and that's our food. We do not share our food. I mean, just so you guys know. I mean, you can eat stuff from our plate, but our heart is being grieved at that moment, you know. You know, so you're pulling up to the drive-thru window, and you say, yeah, this is what I want, this is what I want. Honey, what do you want? Oh, I don't want anything. I'll just eat some of yours. I love it when Pastor Robert says it. He's like, no, you won't. No, you won't. I'll buy you two orders of fries if you want, but you will not have any of my fries. And the fries that fall to the bottom of the bag, those are mine too. How many love the fries that fall to the bottom of the bag? Come on. You know, Jim and Mark Farrar are watching, you know, online. So, hey, this is my reference to food. Yeah, so, number two, you got to deal with a grieving heart. Okay, so the selfish heart happens before you give your hand. The grieving heart happens after you give it, right? And what happens? You give something, it's like something breaks. You get a puncture in your tire. The roof begins to leak. You know, the big payment that you forgot about comes about. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have given that. I shouldn't have given that. Next time I'm not going to do it. Right? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved. your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works. You need to just memorize that scripture right there. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. When they say, why did you give the keyboard? I'm not going to be grieved by it. I don't care what they do with it. If they choose to misuse it, that's on them. Once I've given it, it's no longer yours. You know, it's like you come in like 2 years later, hey, remember that offering that I gave you? What did you do with it? I want an account. It's like, no, it's God's. You'll have to ask Tamara about that. I don't know. I don't keep track of that. Just so you guys know, I don't touch the money. I don't come to money. I don't receive offerings. It's a good policy for pastors. I stay away from the money. Okay? So if you learn to give from the heart, the Lord will bless you. From the heart, the Lord will bless you. So selfishness attacks us before and grieving after we give. Amen. I'm just going to move on because I got to get going. Point number three. Peter, Piper, pizza. Part number three. There's food again. Let's just stop right here. We'll come back next week. It's a series anyway. Two more points. Number three, develop a generous heart. Develop a generous heart. This is verses 12 through 14, but the key is in verse 14. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. Come on. Do I need to explain that one? Our heart is a muscle, and it is connected to our hand muscles for some reason, you know. You got to teach your hand to release. A generous heart is not born. It is developed. God trains you in this reward system. Think about it. How many of you ever traveled per diem job? You know, where they say, hey, you're going to go all expenses paid to this location. You just need to take care of the business. You can go out and have dinner, you know, up to this much, usually well beyond what you need. Of course, there's the cheapskates like us. We'll just go buy some ramen, and we'll take all the per diem, right? You know, but, you know, God says, I will fund your, you know, this thing as long as you take care of my business. We need to look at life like that. God is saying, you're in my kingdom, you're in the Father's business, and as long as you take care of me, I will fund what you need. I will give you per diem. You'll have plenty so you can live, you know, well off. Come on. God's job for you has the best all-expense-paid system. So some of you, we need to begin to see the kingdom for what it is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me say it a third time. From where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, in the weeks preceding to the conference, I'm telling you, I'm so blessed by you guys. But I mean, all of us collectively, we spent hours after hours, you know, here rehearsing and preparing and building and studying and preparing, you know, teachings and preparing the panel and preparing, you know, the stage. There's so much point to why. Because our heart is in the kingdom. We want to see people getting saved. We want to see unity in the community. We want to see the kingdom being expanded. And so we will put our heart and our treasure because into it. Are you seeing that? So when I see people that are not serving, it just means that your heart is not in the kingdom. I'm just looking at you, Pastor Carol. I don't mean to be looking at you. You're a great servant. I didn't want to look at anybody else because then they'll think that I'm talking to them. You're good. You're golden. Hardworking woman. Our mentor here, you know, for us. So we need to teach our children to share, you know, just the same way. I mean, see, I was playing with that, hey, look, you need to share. But we also need to say to ourselves, we need to share. Okay, last point, develop a grateful heart. Deal with a selfish heart, deal with a grieving heart, develop a generous heart. And the last point, develop a grateful heart. Verse 15, you shall remember that you were what? a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. I command you this thing today. Yes. Oftentimes, we have gone over where God got us out of. We have forgotten that we were slaves to sin. And we have forgotten to be grateful for what God delivered us from. We've gotten comfortable. So we need to count our blessings, retrace our steps. Remember, man, God delivered me from so much shame, from pain. I had no hope. You know, I was in lust. I was in insecurities. I was in fears, comparing myself to others left and right. You know, I didn't have a vision for myself. I didn't have a dream. I used to get into fights as a kid. I was an angry kid. But God delivered me, and he forgave me of my sins. And every day that I sin, I go to him, forgives me every single time. My life is a response to him. I want to be grateful every day, you know, and I don't want to put a limit to what I will give, because Jesus didn't put a limit to how much he gave. Sometimes we begin to look at each other and say, well, he's not giving. I shouldn't give anymore. That's the wrong way to live. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. If other people stop giving for one reason or another, you know, of their time, of their talents, of their treasure, that's them, between them and God. Don't worry about them. God can deal with them. We all have little, you know, hills and valleys in our lives, and sometimes they may be struggling with something. So don't assume what's going on in their life. Just stay on your track and give and give and give. Yes, you need to have rest. You need to be wise. You can't just work yourself, you know, to death. Come on, you need to have family time. You need to do all those things that are important. But please, do not look at your hand. Do not, you know, look at your hand after you've given it. Give generously to the kingdom. Give lavishly because you're sown into something that neither moth, you know, nothing can corrupt. It is in God's bank account, and he never misses a beat. Whatever you've stored in his bank, you will surely get a reward for it. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward with me. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward with me. I want everyone to stand. The reason why we struggle with giving is because we don't see the kingdom. We don't. Come on, tell the person next to you, you need to see the kingdom. You need to see the kingdom. Check out this verse, John 3:3, and I close with this. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, a guy that knew the law very well. Look at what Jesus said to him. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you seeing the kingdom? Are you seeing the possibilities? We're part of a completely different system. We're not in the same system that the world is in. They're in a rat race. They're trying to get ahead by beating up on each other, stabbing each other on the back. Not so it will be among you. We live by kingdom principles. And we use God's system to work out, you know, that the selfishness and the covetousness out of us through generous giving. Through generous giving. Through generous giving. In the days ahead, we're going to be challenged. I'm being challenged. I told you last week, God's told me, you're going to go to full-time ministry or you're going to leave your job. And hey, believe me, having a government job and having a nice retirement at the end of the day and have all these things, you know, God is saying, my system is way better than that reward system. So you need to trust me. And where we're going, we're going to go together. So as I'm being challenged, you're going to be challenged to be generous, to be lavishing. You know, it becomes a step of faith when you squirm when you give it. Anybody can give with a few pennies left, a few bills left on your wallet. Anybody can do that. You know, God knows that the dollar bills have been in enough churches, you know, for 100 years. The same dollar bills just go from basket to basket, you know. But there's something else when you say, you know what? I'm going to go beyond, you know, what I normally give, and I'm not talking just about money, but your time, about your talents. You're going to step out. Even if it, because if it's real faith, if it's a God-given dream, it'll make you squirm. This thing that God's put in my heart, I was going like, okay, God, it's all you. But I love it. I want to be a part of it. But there are some that cannot see the kingdom because they've not been born again. You're still living in the system of the world. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The problem is when we're in our sin, we already stand condemned. But when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Like I said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The positive Holy Spirit is already in you. And God begins to have it bubble up inside of you, providing life and peace and joy and wisdom and healing and all the things that we need for everyday living. But I think there's people in here who have not surrendered their life to Jesus. We have to make him our Lord and our Savior, not just our Savior. He needs to be your Lord and your Savior. To that young rich ruler, he said, hey, look, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor, then come follow me. I don't know what it is that you have not released from your hand that you're trying to hold on to, your safety net in the world. But I still want to be liked by the world. You know, I still want to be cool with the world. But Jesus is saying, let go. Let go. I didn't want to speak this message. I struggled sharing this message. And God said, you have to share this message. Even just yesterday, I was talking to Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim, I'm not really sure. This is the message. And I said, be praying for me. You know, I said, I have two messages. And God said to me, this is the message that I want you to share. Why? Because I know it gets a little tense once you start talking about money. But I'm willing to let go, my personal fears. And I want to obey God to step into what God has for Shiloh into the future. And I cannot sugarcoat this message. We need to give him our all. You need to be in or out. Do not be lukewarm. Be sold out for Jesus. Believe me. You put your foot in the waters will part. And that's what God told me. You just put your foot in the water. I'm going to cause it to part. And people are going to get it. People are going to receive this message. But some of you need to start by letting go of your own life and receiving the life of Jesus. You need to give your life fully to God. Everybody, please close your eyes for a second. I believe I'm speaking to somebody. If you've been wondering, am I right with God? This message is for you. It's not like, oh yeah, one time I prayed. No, I'm telling you, have you been living for Jesus? This is the day where God's saying, step out of the boat and walk on the water with me. It's time to let go of the safety net. Friendship with the world, says the scriptures, is enmity with God. Enmity with God. We cannot serve both God and mammon, or God and riches. We have to choose this day whom we're going to serve. Will you step out of the boat today? Will you be sold out? Will you be lavishing with your gift to God? And your greatest treasure is your heart. Because if your heart is his, then he can do anything through you. He can entrust you his kingdom.